That sounds okay. Is that? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Let's do it again. Ready?
Yes.
It is the PC Gamer Podcast for Thursday, July 3rd, and we couldn't be more thrilled.
Woohoo!
On today's show, the devil went down to Paris, France. Things are looking grim, and that's a good thing. 10 million WoW players prepare finally to do something new, and Peter Moore, devil incarnate or savvy businessman. All this, plus we answer your questions right after this musical interlude. Gosh, I've missed you all. It's been so long since I was here. I've missed you, Logan Decker, our senior editor.
We've missed you, too.
I've missed you, too, Dan Stapleton, our senior associate editor.
You were gone?
I've missed you, Andy Bauman, our podcast producer.
Hey, I know. We missed you. Everybody missed you. The listeners know.
Aw, gee. And, of course, ex-intern Andy, we miss you every day, especially when it's time to get someone to pick up lunch for us.
I've missed you guys, too. Believe me.
I'm starving.
I know. Andy, could you do me a favor? How long would it take you to get here? 8-9 hours?
Actually, I can make the drive straight in 13, so.
Just in time for...
You're up in Seattle, right?
Yep.
I was just up there yesterday, so. I know exactly how long it takes.
What were you doing?
That's where his arraignment was.
Oh, I see.
He's out on bail, so it's all good.
Actually, Christian, can we discuss what I was there doing? I mean, it's an exclusive that we're going to have, and
it's up to you, Dan. You know why? Because I like to empower the people who work with me. So, Dan, I empower you to decide whether or not you would like to talk about what you were doing yesterday.
Well, in that case, we can go ahead and say we had an exclusive hands-on with Demigod, the new Gas Power Games project they're working on with Stardock. It's a strategy game, so keep an eye on our October issue, which will be coming out. I guess that's on sale August 19th. You'll be able to read about that if you're not a subscriber. In which case, you'll get it a little bit earlier. So, but this is the first time anybody outside of Gas Powered Games has played it, and I had some fun. So that's what I was doing up in Andy's neck of the woods yesterday.
Is that all? I guess because it's going to be the issue, we don't want to talk about it too much. But
yeah, you know, it's far far off. You know, when we get closer, I'll talk about it a little more.
Stapleton rating fun. Excellent.
We actually try and avoid just saying fun in the magazine because that's we got to choose our words closely, carefully in there because we don't get a whole lot of them. So,
True enough. But
on the podcast we can talk our ears or our mouths off. So yeah, it was fun.
So there you have it. There's in addition to the Stapleton rating, there's a lot going on in PC gaming. Not all of it oddly related to people making penises in Spore, although I could talk about that all day.
You can also make a goatsy in Spore. That's really impressive.
Oh, awful.
Whoa. Unicorn chaser.
It's true.
But other than that, the biggest news, especially if your name is Greg Viederman, is that Diablo 3 has been announced. Hello, friends.
That's exactly what I thought when I first heard it. I was like, God, he's going to be stoked.
You thought somewhere Greg's head just exploded. So what do we all think? You know, it's funny because on one hand, speaking of all of our ex-employees, we've got Greg, who is the biggest Diablo fanboy, really, that any of us probably know. And then on the other hand, you've got Norm, who really doesn't have anything nice at all to say about that franchise.
Hater.
Well, I mean, he doesn't hate it. He just doesn't see the appeal. And I'm kind of in that camp in that, you know, I played Diablo 2. I think I never really played through Diablo 1. I played it a little bit, but not much. I played through Diablo 2, you know, once and a half. I played through as a barbarian the first time, and then I played like halfway through as a necromancer before I got really, really bored of it. And, you know, the whole time I was like looking for what everybody was really excited about. And I wasn't really finding it. Maybe I'm just not into, and like, I'm not a big hack and slash action RPG guy anyway.
Right.
So, you know, it's not my cup of tea exactly. It's, you know, it's diverting.
Did you, from what you've seen of the new game, anything in there that makes you feel like it may be more interesting to you this time around, or?
It's prettier. And, you know, hack and slash is fun, so, at least for a while. So I'll definitely play it.
I love that you think it's prettier, and then at the same time, there's this petition that's circulating?
they just don't like that it's prettier.
What the hell, people?
That's their objection.
You can't win for losing. My goodness. Does everybody know about this?
Well, not all of our listeners will. So.
But Logan, I think you're the one who actually sent me the link to this.
I'm not really sure if the beef is just that it's too colorful.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. Is that really it? There's something like 3,000 people have signed a petition online already. I don't think I want to give out the URL.
don't want to encourage that kind of
take
people.
That.
Yeah, and they're just complaining that apparently it's just too colorful, and they can't take it, and they're protesting the. I think there's some murmurs of protest over the 3D aspect, but mostly it's just that there's too much light and color.
Can you just throw a saturation slider on there and call it a day?
Yeah, let's turn the gamma, turn it way down, and, you won't be able to see any color anyway.
Spray paint your LCD,
I think it's just a little confusing at first, because this is a franchise that's been 2D always, and to see it in 3D, it's, and they've only seen one environment, so I think it's a bit unfair.
Well, the other thing, I'm actually reading this petition, and I imagine me drawing air quotes around that word. So it seems like what they're actually hemming and hawing over is the fact that they think it looks too much like World of Warcraft. Which isn't, and I actually was lucky enough to be at the announcement, so I got to, I got to see the first demo and, spend some time with it, and it's true. It is, you can very clearly tell that it's influenced by World of Warcraft. Duh. I mean, why would you not? 10 million people are playing your game. You got to think you were doing some things right.
It's the same guys. It's the same art directors that are handling it, doing the concept art for this, and it's the same people overseeing it. So of course it's going to resemble their other games.
Right. Well, the good news for us and for you is that actually this is our next cover story. So Diablo 3 will be on the cover of our October issue, which I believe we just mentioned will come out August 19th or July.
On
stands. It'll hit newsstands July 13th. So we'll have a bunch of new exclusive art in there. We'll have, obviously, the cover will be some cool new art. We have some great Q&As with the lead developer, the lead art director. I believe we're going to have some time to talk to Mike Morhaime, who's one of the one of the co-founders of Blizzard. So there's going to be some great stuff in there. And then, of course, lots of deep PC gamer take on what we think of the new game. So definitely run, don't walk to your newsstand.
And, if we look at all the assets and say, wow, this looks way too much like The Legend of Zelda, we will sign the petition.
Right. I played Diablo 2, not rabidly like some people, but I did play it. And you know what? This looks really fun. I actually was more interested in this from what I saw than I ever was in Diablo 2. Without getting too much into it, because I don't want to give away too much of the story, there's actually some, there's some multiple layers now to like the combat that were not there before.
Do you want to read the demands of this petition?
Sure.
Give us a bullet point.
What they want. They want a darker, gothic, cryptic, and creepier environment. What is a cryptic environment?
I do not think
that word means what they think it means.
It's sort of like my bedroom.
It's a puzzle.
And cryptic means hard to decipher. I think what they want is a crypt-like environment.
Like sepulchral. Yeah. Like that old Shakespearean word, yeah.
Yeah. A more realistic...
I can't believe I got to use that word on the podcast.
I know. Golly.
Wow.
Pen Insta Logan.
Thank you.
I'm going to censor it out. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you, man.
A more realistic artistic direction. More independent from the Warcraft universe art direction. Okay. Darker dungeons without a blue-green environment. Diablo dungeons are dark and shadowy.
Maybe that's because they only had 256 colors back then.
Right, exactly. The return of the light radius shadow system from Diablo 1 and 2, a concept modified picture made by me roughly shows and suggests how the shadow system should work on Diablo 3. Oh, there's a URL here. I might have to go look at that later.
The light radius system was pretty cool in Diablo.
What do you want to bet you go there and it's like a zero punctuation?
It's a Rick roll.
I went to this URL and basically it takes a screen where a screen from Diablo 3.
Like crayons.
it takes a screen from Diablo 3 and they put it through Photoshop and made because it's kind of uniformly lit right now. Like you can see everything on the screen and he like darkened everything that isn't like immediately around him. Kind of made it fading out and made shadows darker and things like that, which, you know, it could end up being like that. But I suspect that the reason they didn't do that is because it's harder to see all the art that they made for this game, you know, and
like plus with higher resolution textures. I mean, you don't need the light radius as much as you did back then.
Well, I don't know if it was a texture issue. I mean, that was just kind of an atmospheric thing where they wanted you to feel like everything was dark around you and you're kind of groping around in the dark. Whereas with this one, I think they just want to show off their art assets, and that's always the reason they told me why you can't zoom out very far in StarCraft II. I mean, not just that they want to show off the art assets, but they want people to be able to see everything and know how to use it. At a glance, so they don't want to hide the game from you.
I think too, though, it might be that, you know, this is like the first time anybody's seen this game. We're not going to want to hide stuff. We're going to want people to go ooh and ah. Like, there's still probably a slight possibility, but you know, dude, I think there's a lot of rush judgment going on.
Andy, your mic just got super loud.
I know. Wow.
Woo.
Thanks.
I know your opinion was hot, but
yeah, I think
but it shouldn't be painful hot.
I think Andy is right in a lot of ways here. I mean, this is still very early. I mean, they were very
clear about that at the presentation. You know, they very clearly stated this could all change.
I feel a little bad for being a little mean. I do know that it's very jarring to love a game and then to have the look changed even a little bit. You know, it's.
You know what this well, I mean, we should finish the list here before we
demands.
I thought we did finish the list. We're gonna keep reading the list of demands. Oh, the ones we read already weren't silly enough.
No, we've got also slightly less colorful and less vivid outside scenarios. They are too heavily influenced by the World of Warcraft ones. Darker and less colorful landscapes. Tristram was never colorful and beautiful. Here's how it looked in Diablo 1 before the evil was released from the lands, and they've got an image from that. And most importantly, an independent and renewed artistic direction, not a recycled art direction taken from the Warcraft world. Diablo was never meant to be cartoonish as Warcraft. They shall have an independent and distinct styles. This isn't happening in Diablo 3, and at first sight...
Can you guys wake me up when this petition's done?
At first sight, it looks like a remake of World of Warcraft, graphically and artistically speaking. And finally, example of the heavy influence World of Warcraft... we don't think fits the Diablo universe, and they've got like a couple of shots shown side by side. But I mean, what this really reminds me of is the outcry about Fallout 3, where they switched a much more dramatic change from Fallout 1 and 2, going from the top down isometric view and turn based combat to first person or first slash third person view over the shoulder and real time combat.
I mean, long story short, I think Logan's right. I think that when there are established franchises that have very particular aesthetics that people really like, they get, it's like anything, you know, it's people do it with the magazine. Whenever you change something that people are used to, they react to it. I guess they freak. And so in that respect, I agree with Logan. Like, who are we to say, oh gosh, you know, don't be upset about this. But on the other hand, I'm of the notion that, you know, really good games are few and far between. Like, is this really what you're going to be that upset about? I just find it hard to believe that people are more concerned about the artistic direction of a game like this than the actual gameplay. So,
also, you know, knowing those Blizzard guys, I'm sure they've debated this intensely internally. You know, there is virtually nothing that they don't discuss and you know, think, you know, what's the fan reaction going to be here? What's the benefit of changing this? Should we do it? Should we not do it? You know, I think they've got very good reasons for what they're doing. So, and I think a lot of that probably has to do with just the fact that World of Warcraft is such a smash hit, and they do want a lot of people to see, hey, this game looks like the game I love so much. And also all the Diablo fans say, hey, this game looks, at least something like the game I love so much. At least it has the gameplay of the game I love so much. So they're probably trying to get, you know, they're trying to get the biggest possible group of people, which maybe doesn't include, totally pleasing the ultra purists.
Well, more about this in our upcoming cover story. But
at the same time, it is unfortunate that it has to happen because those people are your most diehard fans.
I think there's a statement by the lead producer that said he wanted the contrast between the happy looking things and the really dark looking things, and they just haven't showed off anything that's really dark looking. Maybe so.
Right.
Don't fret.
Yeah. I remember how shocked I was when literally overnight a couple of years ago, somebody changed the bumper of my car from where the reflector was perfect, and then suddenly it was shattered. and I was very upset about that. Yeah, it was totally changed without my permission or knowledge. And
Your art director.
Just getting used to it.
They just
it's
sort of drove
direction.
Away, you know? Yeah, and they didn't ask me how I felt about the change in my bumper from,
you know what you should do, Logan? You should start a petition.
I should. I really should, you know? Because a bumper should not be shattered. It shouldn't be buckled in. It should be...
Not without the input of the interested parties. Agreed.
Curious.
Well, as if Blizzard hadn't had a busy enough week, apparently the Lich King beta is now open. So, ex-intern Andy, are you like shitting yourself in preparation for the... cat assing that's about to start?
I'm very excited because I'm taking online classes this summer, so I can afford to basically never leave my computer. And
so everybody send your socks too.
Yeah, get some socks in the mail.
But at the same time, I'm a little concerned because the beta key that I got at last BlizzCon still hasn't been used for anything. So I wonder if like that can give me an in or anything like that.
No, I mean that's almost certainly going to be used for like the next beta that goes live, which apparently is going to be Lich King. And it was either that or StarCraft or StarCraft 2 like multiplayer. So if Lich King goes live next, I'd bet it would be used for that.
I'm just hoping I can use it before, you know, like the next BlizzCon or something like that.
Yeah.
So am I the only one who thinks we can start calling WoW a casual game?
Yes.
Really?
Dude, it's hardcore. Are you kidding
me? You haven't spent a whole lot of time in WoW.
I spent a whole lot of time with at the WoW Invitational last weekend.
Right.
That's what I spent a whole lot of time at. And
but there is nothing casual about WoW.
That was not a hardcore. Let me put it this way. It was not your stereotypical hardcore gaming group.
They're not like the traditional people that are into gaming, but they are hardcore gamers, and that a lot of them spend a lot of time in this game and are exploring depths of it that a casual game, you say casual game, you conjure images of Peggle and other kind of basic games that are fun. But
people spend a lot of time playing Peggle. I mean, what constitutes a casual game or a hardcore game? Is it how much time you play it, or is it the game?
It's the amount of depth of the game has, the number of things that you can do in it. Like, Peggle is a one-trick pony. You know, there are a bunch of different challenges and things like that, but there's only one thing that you do. It's, you know, aim the ball and shoot, and then watch as it bounces around. Now, in WoW, there are just a bajillion things you can do, like, from combat to crafting to raiding to... all kinds of things you can do in that game. You can even cook and make clothes, and you can go fishing. You know, it's just not a one trick pony.
But then couldn't you say that Portal? In Portal, you only do one thing, which is shoot the portal.
And how is that not a hardcore game?
Uh-huh. I know. I'm just saying, just as a devil's advocate, you know, it's a tough thing to define.
I would actually advocate that somebody who's playing online, you know, Scrabble 6 hours a day is a hardcore online Scrabble gamer. You know, like that's a lot of time spent.
Because in Portal, that's all you do is just.
Well, again, it's not you know time spent. It's the depth of the game.
Sure.
And also time spent on doing a bunch of stuff that isn't just a repetitious task.
All right, but what if somebody in WoW? What if that is all somebody's doing in WoW? What if a large portion of the many thousands of people I saw at this thing last weekend really just go into WoW to do one to fish or, you know.
Well, I don't know. I know a lot of people.
Yeah, Andy, what do you think?
They just, you know, there's both sides of the spectrum like there is in any game. Like in WoW, I consider myself probably one of the more hardcore ones because, you know, I raid and I do you know, PvP and I do all that stuff.
Did you hear that, ladies? He raids.
Don't raid me, bro.
And, you know, there's also people who just kind of go through and they see all the quests and they get a character, you know, they casually level it. You know, I've seen some people who it takes them, you know, a couple weeks to go up in a level because they just log on for a couple hours a day and then they, you know, go back to the normal life and everything like that. So, I don't know, it's tough to really just get one stamp and just put it on the game box, you know?
It depends on your definition of a casual game.
Yeah. I'd have to say that's right. You know, just it all depends on how much you play it and what your definition of it is. It's tough to just say, this is casual, or, you know, this is hardcore.
And anything can be played in a casual with a casual attitude, but the game itself is not strictly a casual game. You know, it's got little fun things you can do in there that are casual in nature, but the depth is such that, you know, you can't possibly call it a casual game.
I wonder.
I like to play it with a rakish attitude, wearing a donkey cap.
I wonder if one definition might be that a casual game is a game that does not require you whatsoever to spend more than a few minutes to enjoy it. Like, I wouldn't enjoy Portal for just, like, say, 2 minutes of play, but I would enjoy Peggle for 2 minutes of play as much as I would 3 hours of play, which, sadly, I have done with Peggle over and over again.
That's a good metric.
But I can enjoy Peggle in dosages from 30 seconds to 3 hours, but a game like Portal or a shooter or RPG or anything like that are not satisfying to me unless I can sit down for at least 20 to 30 minutes.
Logan, write that down. Gosh, I wish we had a recording of this.
Ooh.
So we'd remember.
I pressed stop on accident.
You mean we're all just having a nice chat?
Wouldn't that suck? Really bad.
You're talking about socks or something?
No, I actually, Logan, that makes a lot of sense.
I like that.
Because the thing is, I feel like Peggle really is. There's a lot to it. But at the same time, I know that there's a difference. I know just instinctively that there is a difference.
There's a ton to Peggle. You can aim that ball to the right or the left or down the center.
No, dude, but it's powers, all about, man. It's like, yeah, it's about the angle and getting it just right and look, calculating the shot so it does this and that. But I understand. It's still, I would still put it under a casual game. I'm just trying to think why. Why do I define it
I
that
think
way?
I think it's cool that we've landed on Peggle and Portal as these two games that we're discussing about this, because with Peggle and Portal, I played the shit out of the, like, challenges, and that was hardcore. Yeah. And, like, getting my Grandmaster Peggle status, that's hardcore, you know? Come on.
You got a certificate, you know? Like, in the mail.
I want one. Send it to me, Podcast.
If only you got Grandmaster Flash status. Well, did I just date myself?
You can probably do that in a Flash version of Peggle.
Moving on, our friends at GameTap are publishing the newest game from American McGee of Alice fame and of Bad Day LA infamy, but let's please focus on the positives because Alice was awesome. The new game is Grim. It's a pretty interesting concept. It's also free for the first 24 hours it's out. So, Dan, were you checking it out? You want to explain the concept for those not in the know?
So basically, it's an episodic game. It's kind of a unique episodic game in that they're going for a very short play experience, like 30 minutes per episode, and they're going to release episodes on a weekly basis starting July 31st.
Is it 8 in the first season or 12?
8.
8. Okay.
So they're trying out this kind of concept like a TV show where it airs on that first day. So on July 31st, you can go to GameTap and play this 30-minute game for free. After July 31st, in order to play that, you'll have to buy the game for – it'll be a few bucks. They haven't announced the pricing structure, but they're thinking along the lines of like iTunes. You know, you watch a show on TV and it's free, but if you want to watch it later, you have to go to iTunes and buy the episode, right?
Awesome.
It's really interesting, and the game itself is interesting. I actually saw some of it at GDC when American McGee was in town, because he lives in, I believe, Hong Kong now.
The concept of the game is like it's a fairy tale thing, so it's getting back to the Alice roots, I guess. And the idea is you, like, at least in the gameplay I saw, I'm actually holding a copy of it in my hand right now. I haven't really gotten in here and played it, but I played like a very brief demo the other day,
where I was playing as this little like dirty gnome who runs around these fairy tale worlds and corrupts them and turns them from like a bright, colorful thing like Diablo,
this
I guess.
This is kind of what Diablo means, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like imagine you're a gnome running around the colorful world of Diablo 3, and in as you path around the world, it turns into Diablo 1 and 2 behind you. Yeah, that's basically the no. I like you know. It's,
go
it's,
dirty gnome.
Yeah, and you know it's got an adult sense of humor. It's rated M, so it's you know they're
nice.
They're going to be you know kind of dirty minded about it. So, I'll be interested to see. You know, I'm probably going to jump in over the weekend and see how it comes out.
Look for Kristen's boobalicious.
Oh yeah. Did you guys talk about that while I was gone?
Oh yes.
Did.
Oh
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Good stuff. Poor Boobalicious.
I think that's such a great new model for games. I mean, and it shows that they're confident about the gameplay because they know the word of mouth will get out on what it's like to play, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's definitely.
But yeah, somebody who eats lunch like in the Costco conga line at the sample tables, you know, I'm all about free, you know. So
I think it kind of reminds me of with the last week's podcast, that guy who called in and said, you know, well, the game doesn't work on my machine. I kind of wanted to, you know, talk about this playing it a demo for so long. It kind of reminds me of that. Like, I think it's really cool that they're just allowing somebody to, or, you know, people to play this game for so long for free. I just think
I think it makes a lot of sense too. I suspect that their concern will be somebody says, oh my gosh, it's only 30 minutes or an hour worth of gameplay. It's going to be lame. They may not even want to check it out. Like, I think it's a smart move. Mm-hmm. What I hope though is that, you know, as I was saying when we opened this segment, American McGee obviously is really talented. Like, we've seen that. We saw that in the Alice games. But I feel like he just kind of got off course there for a while. And I'm really hoping that this game is much more like Alice than Bad Day LA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which was unfun. What
was that?
I don't know. Let's not even talk about it.
There was also that Scrapland game that I guess he presented. Right. He didn't actually develop that one. It's American Me.
You know,
Miggy
that was
presents,
such but. A beautiful game, but I just couldn't. I don't know why I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, the gameplay just wasn't there. It
looked
okay.
Really good.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't a bad game, but it wasn't a good game either.
But I played through Alice twice, and I played just maybe I think 6 or 8 months ago, and it holds up really well. The sound production on that game is one of the all time greats,
and the art style.
The art's amazing. I agree.
Yeah, which is probably going back to Blizzard a little bit what they're thinking about with cartooning up the art style there, because even Alice, which is how old is that?
It's 7 years old at least, because
I think it's older than that.
Yeah, maybe.
I think
maybe.
I want to say 1999.
Yeah, I think it was late 90s. So
wow.
Yeah.
So even after all this time, it still looks good because the graphics are so stylized. If you try and make a realistic game, it's just not going to look very good after a while because your attempt at realism now is going to look like crap. You know, 5 years down the line.
It's the same reason we all still love Grim Fandango.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated those ghosts that screamed at you, though. Oh, they followed you everywhere, and they went, ah!
Well, who likes screamy ghosts?
Yeah, that's true. Nobody likes those guys.
Well, moving on in the screw you guys department, Peter Moore, formerly of Microsoft and now of EA Sports, has commented once again on his decision for EA Sports to totally ignore the PC. So I just want to know what you guys think. I know that in general, I'm the only person here who gives a hoot about sports.
No, I do too. At least
good.
On a PC game level, totally.
Hoot, well, Andy, hoot.
Yeah, hoot.
Yes.
Hoot. I think it's terrible because I'm a huge NHL fan, and the series hasn't been on PC in like 2 iterations.
Right.
And it's terrible because some of the most like emotive gaming like I've ever had, like jumping out of my chair, running around my room, has come from sports games. And man,
but, you know, he's making the argument in the quote that I read from him that there's no market for sports games on the PC anymore. So I mean, is he like talking through his hat? Not that I've ever seen him in a
I think
hat.
He's just mistaken.
I bet he has one.
Yeah, I don't know. What games are you missing? Are you going to be missing out on like the baseball ones?
I would be missing out on the baseball games.
And
me personally,
yeah. And the terrible thing is, there's not another baseball game that's going to be on the PC.
No.
You know, so it's like
only
the
only
game
the,
in town. So, like, yeah, the
statistics
game.
Yeah.
I don't get it, though. I mean, does he have a point? Because
I mean, I doubt that they were making a ton of money on this and said, all of a sudden said, we're not going to do this anymore because we don't like money.
Well, that's because they ported the PS2 version or whatever,
that,
you know?
Right,
well,
yeah, no, they're crappy
also,
games.
I mean, that probably was born from, you know, because it's easier to port one of those than it is to port a next-generation game. So they spend less money to do that. So I think they were probably looking at, you know, previous ones where they had ported the you know, the higher end game and said, hey, we're not making a whole lot of money on this. Let's, you know, see if we can skimp on that. And then, you know, naturally putting out a worse game isn't going to make them any more money than putting out a good game. So that didn't do very well. So now they're ignoring it entirely.
I wonder if there's, and I don't know, you know, somebody feel free to write in about this, but I wonder if it has to do with the fact that many people play sports games as multiplayer games.
Oh, I'm certain it
much,
does.
I mean, you know, that's much easier to do when you're on your sofa.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those rare instances, and everybody knows how I feel about playing games on gamepads. I much prefer the mouse and keyboard, but this is one of those types of games, sports games, where a gamepad is better. You know,
yeah.
it's No, I mean, I freely admit that both.
Oh my god.
Heard it here first, folks.
Control schemes have their advantages in different genres, and the genres that PC gamers prefer tend to prefer, you know, shooters, RPGs, RTS, and, you know, turn-based strategy as well. The mouse is better for all of those, but for sports and for fighting, and, you know, and depending on the equipment you have, if you have a USB, you know, steering wheel, then this doesn't apply. But racing games as well. Those all play better on an analog control pad.
But yeah. It's nothing now. Your Xbox 360 controller plugs right into a PC. It's not like it's
right,
hard
but if
to.
You got the, I mean,
but also it might be like some. I think you were saying it earlier, Kristen, that people like to play sports things on the couch. Like that's
that
where
may
they
be
watch.
What it is, yeah.
That's where
yeah.
they
and
watch.
And also, you want to play with your buddy who's right there. So unless you're going to plug two 360 controllers into your PC, then and play like split screen. Or yeah. you know, it's
and also I think everybody who has an Xbox 360 is going to have the controllers, but not everybody who has a PC is going to have those controllers available. Yeah. I think it's just the continuity thing as well.
I guess it makes
sense. You know what's just, weird on a? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say. I guess logically, from a business standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. But it's like from someone who's never had a console, and I guess I do now, but I don't ever think that I do. I just play everything on PC, and I love those games. So, boo.
Mm-hmm.
So boo to you, Peter
on
Morris.
On the PC, the games that are a genre that's huge and they're horrible to look at are the hunting games.
Oh, no.
You know, isn't that strange? So
it's,
I mean, those games rake in millions and millions of dollars selling at Walmart every year. And they look like crap. And yet, you know, so those take off, but not the sports games. But I think we already hit it in that.
I'm surprised people go there to buy a hunting game when they can just go there to buy a gun.
They got to warm up a little bit about those hunting games, though. If they make so much money, how come nobody has made like an awesome one? You know, one that doesn't look like crap.
Why mess with the winning
game? Because people keep playing the crappy ones. Why would you not keep turning them out? Why spend the extra time and?
Because you make a better one, and you'll take the market away from everybody else.
You build a better hunting game.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if somebody wants to dominate that market, which is obviously very lucrative, all they have to do is make make one that's up to par with, you know, license the Unreal 3 engine. Make a deer that has, like, actual hair on it, you know. Do something, you know, special, and you know, maybe I'd even play it.
Maybe the ones who have the 3 or 4 year old, you know, $400 Dells, though, and maybe they wouldn't be able to run something like that.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah,
they wouldn't be able to run a hunting game with hairy deer.
Yeah. It seems like it would be a lot like Silent Hunter. It'd be like
they wanted to run it at 800 by 600.
Yeah,
that was a good point about the requirements. That's it. That's totally it. People have cheap PCs, and Walmart's catering to those common.
You can do better than what they do on, you know, with a
sure. But if there's no pressure to do better, then you're like, I'm making 50 billion gajillion. You know, I'm flying around the country with hookers and
off the slaughter of these.
You know, I have varmint hunter in my desk.
Kind of varmint?
It's like gophers, groundhogs.
I'm gonna drive down there and play it.
I went to college with
it's NRA varmint hunter.
I went to college with this woman who once told all of us about how she used to visit her uncle in rural someplace every year for his annual critter roast. That's what he called it. The Crater Rose.
Wait, look, yeah, Logan, is that Varmint Hunter, the Mitt Romney edition?
Oh my God, Andy, save
I'm ready.
Us.
Hi, this is Isaac. I'm a longtime listener. I get the magazine. Anyway, I just had a comment about Gears of War, which you guys bashed in your last podcast. It seems like while the combat isn't very innovative in the actual game, it's really well suited to games that have combat as sort of a side point. Like, it was used in Mass Effect and GTA 4. It used basically the same cover system. And I thought that was interesting, since those are both really good games. All right, keep up the good work. Thanks.
I don't think anybody really had a problem with the fact that it was cover-based, did we?
No, I just didn't get it. I think I didn't.
That's all you did.
Yeah. I think he's got a good point, though. Like, I agree, the combat kind of did seem like a secondary thing, even though it was the primary thing. Maybe that's why I didn't like it. I mean, compared to Rainbow Six Vegas 2, the combat system is not as fun. Mm. The cover system, meaning.
Right.
Yeah, but why is that? Because that's a good point. I loved Vegas 2. I loved every minute of it.
It's more seamless, I guess. It's like faster and you're in control a little bit better.
Yeah, and I think just to be fair, we should point out that we're not really bashing Gears of War. It just, you know, wasn't our particular cup of tea.
Yeah.
Norm liked it a lot.
Norm really liked it.
Yeah.
He gave it an editor's choice, and he's the biggest shooter player we got. So we'll defer to his judgment in terms of saying whether it's good or not. It just didn't really grab us. And like we said, we still got to go back. I still kind of reserve my judgment because I didn't play it very long. I still have to go back and play it some more.
Hello, PC Gamer Podcasters. This is Josh, a.k.a. Ninjitsu Monkey from the PCG TF2 servers.
Whoa.
I had a great thought the other day while I was listening to some back episodes of the podcast. You were talking about game-to-movie translations, and I had an awesome idea for a StarCraft movie. You don't just make one movie, but three. The first movie would focus on Raynor and Kerrigan and their struggle against the Terran and then later the Zerg. The second movie would give rise to Queen Kerrigan, the story of the Zerg campaign against the Protoss and the Terran. The third and final movie would be Protoss-centric, and would focus on their fight with the Zerg to destroy the Overmind and protect their planet. What do you guys think?
What I think is, first thing I want to know is where Sigourney Weaver fits in all that.
I'm going to go ahead and say I actually kind of like it, as weird as it sounds. Just like, you know, off the bat, like, you know, if we really got some people like the folks at Legendary Pictures who were handling World of Warcraft, that actually has some pretty cool potential.
Yeah, I mean, it does have potential because, I mean, that was one of the strengths of StarCraft, and that it had a great storyline to go along with it. I wonder, though, like, the second movie where he's talking about, you know, would be, like, Zerg-focused. It's kind of hard to make a movie from the perspective of, like, non-humanoid aliens, you know? With the exception of Kerrigan, the Zerg are all just kind of, you know, bugs. So it would be difficult to write that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there would be some badass battle scenes in that movie.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I've always wondered what would happen if Blizzard's CG team actually made a movie. Because,
it would be,
you know,
awesome.
You wouldn't want to see, like, someone else take StarCraft and try and make, like, a live action. I mean, maybe you would, but it would also be cool.
What about Peter Jackson's team?
Yeah,
that Weta, whatever, you know, the New Zealand. Weta.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Andy's right here. I don't think. First of all, I don't think that Blizzard would give it over to anybody else to do a live action movie, or a CG movie. I think the only way they'd do it is if it was live action.
Yeah, but they should do it as CG, and that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, just their cinematics are some of the best in the business, so.
Yeah.
It would be outstanding to see it. Only problem with that is it would take that team away from doing stuff for games.
And it would probably take them a ridiculously long amount of time. Like, instead of doing like a 5 to 10 minute, taking them 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
2 hours would take them like 8 years.
So did I understand correctly, Dan, that the Zerg movie would bug you?
No, you did not understand that correctly. You have grossly
yes!
misinterpreted things once again.
Yes!
Excuse me.
Oh, that was that good for you too?
No,
that was really good for me.
That was unfortunate for everyone involved, Logan.
And you yelled at me for typing.
Oh, I missed it down there.
All right, I'm interrupting with the next question.
Okay.
Please.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Joe from New York. Imagine my surprise today when I turn to Section D of USA Today and see a write-up of Spore on the front page. And I turn to page 3D for the synopsis, and imagine more of my surprise when I see a quote from none other than Kristen Salvatore.
Dun, dun,
congratulations on expanding your media coverage. Keep up the great work. Bye.
What?
How fabulous is that Salvatore lady?
You guys give me a second. I'm still imagining surprise. Just give me.
I didn't know about this. This is cool. Tell us.
You know, after the whole Boobalicious scandal. Scandalicious. Boobalicious. Which I still am sort of in shock about because, as I'm sure you guys discussed, Boobalicious was so mild compared to some of the other crazy crap that was out there.
Compared to the stuff I've made, it's totally tame.
For whatever reason, people just thought it was a really funny story. I actually got contacted by MSNBC and by USA Today, who both asked me some kind of interesting questions. The MSNBC reporter asked, "What is going on over there?" Giggled, McPhee.
It was just funny. It's funny.
So do you think means
it's a boob,
someone
boob controversy?
I know.
Someone at MSNBC.
What are these questions? I want to hear the questions.
Well, no, the MSNBC reporter asked me, "Are you going to stop playing the game because you got the slap on the wrist from EA?" And I was like, "Well, no. I mean, I didn't. I was never excited about playing the game so that I could make like ball sacks. You know, like that was never my."
Oh, please tell me that's the quote.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that exactly. But maybe I should have.
Hell yes, you should have.
Although you should have used the more...
PC Gamer Editor-in-Chief says ball sack.
You should have used the more technical term of scrotum. But
And then the reporter from MSNBC just asked, it was more general, he wanted to know just what I thought about Spore and sort of how it fit into the larger gaming community. So that I don't, if I recall, we didn't actually talk about the breastalope, as it's also been called. it's pretty interesting. I can't remember if I actually had a chance to talk about it with you guys, but you know, that whole thing happened while I was on the road traveling for some pre E3 stuff, and the other journalists that I was with, we were all sitting at dinner, and it was me, and it was all men at the table, and they were all like, you know, if we had done this, these would be very different stories. And you know what? They're totally right.
It would be a non-story.
If one of them had made... Well, I don't know if it would be a non-story, if it would be like a, oh my goodness, like, that's a good question. Would it be a non-story or would it be a...
It would be a total non-story because it's totally expected of men to do that.
To make boobs?
Oh, yeah.
I thought, but haven't all of them made cocks?
Yeah, what's up with that?
These are not mutually exclusive. There's a new creature button right there. You can do both. You can make breasts with attachments
with
if you want.
With attachments? Breasts with attachments? Like a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen, of all the, you know, the Spore, which is sort of a goofy name, but I guess it's appropriate. But of all the Spore we've seen, I've seen lots and lots of male naughty bits. Of what? Of Wang? Lots and lots of Wang.
Yeah, there's just an amazing amount of attention but, being paid to the male member by men, you know,
men.
More than I've seen this side of the Castro in ages.
But
it's because it's so easy to do. I mean, it starts you out with, you know, most of your work done for you. That opening
rinse.
That the little glob.
Tumescent glob.
Yeah, the glob that it gives you to start with. You know, it's just
penile.
A spine. Yeah. General rule is if it's longer than it's wide, then it's a phallus. So,
if
you turn it on its side, then it's wide. It's a phallus. So,
yikes.
Yeah.
But in any case, you know what? It's actually, it's kind of the nicest, like, secondary thing to happen is that lots of people were interested. You know, it's always nice to get PC Gamer's name into the mainstream press, so I was really happy that was a nice side benefit.
Hi, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Kevin Stevenson from Antwerp in Belgium. Before I ask my question, I would like to apologize for any mistakes in my English, since it's not my mother tongue, as you say it. My question has to do with World War II shooters. How come there aren't any shooters, good ones, like Call of Duty quality, where you can play as the Germans. I mean, wouldn't it be interesting to see the other side of history? Because, well, not all Germans were evil. A lot of soldiers got forced into the army with threats and other means. But I think it's a great idea, in my opinion. What do you think? Keep up the great work. Okay? Bye.
I think it's awesome that we have readers in Belgium.
Yeah. Can I not touch that question?
That's a toughie.
It is a very touchy subject. I mean, just because, for one thing, it's not a very safe thing to do. It's like, if you're shooting for the American market, to have a game where you're a foreign soldier shooting at Americans, that might not go over very well.
I'd say that the other issue, and he actually touches on this in his question, is that it's really hard to, I think, include the subtleties. Like, it's very true to just paint all Germans during the Second World War with the same brush and say, oh, everybody was a Nazi, is completely false. And so it would be very difficult, though, to register the subtleties of, oh, there were actually people who were forced into the German army. It's hard to do that in a game, I think.
Well, Company of Heroes, Opposing Front, did it. They have a German campaign where you're playing as, you know, these conscripted soldiers who aren't not Nazis. They're just, you know, German army regulars. So they, or I guess irregulars. They're conscripts.
Yeah.
Right. So they're just defending their homeland during Operation Market Garden. So they did a pretty good job of that, but it is very hard to do that. And they're still shooting at you know, British and American soldiers, which, right, you know, is controversial.
I think it's just, you know, the other thing, and this maybe is a function of America being such a young country. I think we spend a lot of time here focused on our own history. We don't spend as much time teaching the history of the rest of the world, which is kind of funny considering how much older the rest of the world is, how much more history it has really than we do. Mm-hmm. But if you look at, you know, just the basics, like even what people get taught in history classes in schools, it's very centric on what's gone on in the last, you know, couple hundred years here. So I think that
I think that more than that, it's just that, you know, it's who we identify with more. You know, who do you want to play a game as? Do you want to play a game as, you know, a guy that could have been you, or would you rather play a game as a guy that, you know, is on the other side of the world and lives in a different culture than you? And you know, it's because when you're especially in a shooter, you want the player to identify with the protagonist as much as possible. You know, it's like with Duke Nukem, it's like, oh, you know, I'd like to be that badass who's, you know, it happens to be an American guy. So, you know, it's not really so much that, you know, the average American knows deplorably little about world history, but
the rest of the world, right?
Yeah,
but at the same time, Dan, you know, whoever wants to play the cops and Cops and Robbers, you know,
right?
Nobody ever wants to be the good guy.
But they're American robbers,
right?
Good old American robbers.
No, it's not foreigners shooting at Americans. That's a different thing, I think.
I guess that's true.
It'd be really cool to see one of the foreign studios, like the dudes doing Stalker, to try and make a game that's sort of like in the point of view of a German army or someone from one of the countries that I don't think
the Russians do that.
Yeah, probably not the Russians.
Well, right, you know, that would be, or maybe even the Russian side of the army. You know, you kind of got a taste of that in Call of Duty, but it was ripped straight from that movie, Enemy at the Gates. So it's like, you know, foreign games have a charm, and I think sort of like Das Boot had a really cool look at German U-boat.
Well, I'll tell you who's not going to do it is a German developer.
Yeah, they won't be allowed to.
They say it's far away from that as they possibly can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it would have
on
to
vacation.
Be... Yeah.
Well, on that note, let's do some playlists. What's everybody playing? Andy, intern, Andy, the former, what are you playing?
Well, I've been keeping myself pretty busy with classes actually lately. So at night before I go to bed, I'm taking politics and film and philosophy, which are both actually really, really fun.
So very applicable.
Do you watch Cold War?
Very applicable classes.
Nice summer courses, you know? And then at night before I go to bed, I've been playing some Grand Theft Auto 4 because I played it religiously when it first came out for the first week or so. And then I kind of burned myself out and I've been just, you know, slowly making my way through the rest of the story. I want to hear what everybody's been talking about.
Andy the other.
Yeah, what up?
Andy the other.
Podcast Andy.
I've sort of just been getting in Team Fortress 2 here and there. I haven't had a lot of gaming free time, but yeah, I'm getting
like Pyro.
Get my butt spanked by Pyros left and right.
Pyros are girls.
Yeah, is that true?
Hells yeah.
Is that confirmed?
I don't think that's been confirmed yet. It's a theory, and I yeah. guess somebody from Valve called a pyro a her.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
So you know, it's not like an official thing. We'll have to wait for Meet the Pyro to nail that down.
I've sort of just embraced my role as a sniper. I'm never going to play anything else.
I'm going to have to scout you.
Oh, I hate scouts.
Scouts are the natural enemy of the sniper.
Oh yeah.
What am I playing? I've been playing a little bit of Stalker, not as much as I would like. I had a busy weekend last weekend, so I didn't get any chance to play any games really. What else have I been playing? I played The Incredible Hulk for review, which we already discussed. Don't buy it. What else have I been playing? It's a good question. I've played a little bit of Space Siege. Played a little bit of Space Siege to help with that review for multiplayer. I played I lost my gaming weekend time or weekend gaming time, so I don't have that much to report this week. Another thing that I've been doing over the past 4 days is I spent about let's say 5 hours on the phone with AT&T tech support trying to get my DSL working because my roommate moved out. The DSL was in his name, so they canceled that. I ordered a new, you know, faster version of the service. They like totally botched the order, so the day comes around when it was supposed to come on, nothing happens. They never sent me the new modem and router they were supposed to. So I call them up and ask, you know, where is this? And they were just kind of totally befuddled for a while, like literally hours of sitting around on the phone. What?
They were like, "You did what? You what? Are you sure you ordered with us?"
like some of the reps I spoke to were able to find my order number in their computers. Others weren't. So their whole system was a mess, and it took me 2 days of calling back and spending over 5 hours on the phone with them trying to get that to work.
Luggy.
Well, I would love to begin playing the review copy of Grim that Dan gave me. But first, I have to finish my review of Alone in the Dark.
Are you just dragging that on and on? Just end it already.
That game on the desk next to a bowl of broken glass and rocks for me to spoon in my mouth, I think I would choose the latter.
Which is very disappointing. We had high hopes for that one. I mean, the early stuff that we saw.
I traded another review for that game.
That was a bad move.
That was a horrible move.
I tried to help Logan. I tried to give it to somebody else.
I was like, "Oh no! I want it!" What was I thinking?
Would not let help me help him.
It is. I have to. It is a horror beyond imagination.
They were going for horror.
Yeah, and I'm surviving it. I can't wait to move on to Grimm. I think that'll be a really fun experience.
Well, I've been traveling so darn much lately that I've only been able to grab moments here and there to still play with the Spore Creature Creator on my laptop. That's mostly what I've been doing, with the exception of...
Didn't we get you set up with Fallout 1 for that flight?
I didn't have a chance to install... Well, first of all, I didn't have a chance to install it. Second of all, my laptop battery only lasts, 3.5 hours, and I've been on a series of 10-hour airline... airplane flights. So
don't they have a plug on those then?
Not unless you're sitting up in. I don't forget. I travel in steerage.
Right.
Hey, does Paris still smell funny?
You know what the thing about that? It's so.
Does it smell
before
like
I was a business traveler, I always thought business travel sounded really glamorous, and people would say things like, "Well, I'm going to Paris or I'm going to England." But now that I am a business traveler. You don't ever get to see where you are. You might as well be dropping me in Peoria. So,
yeah, that's true.
So the brief, pieces of Paris I saw between, when I went to the WoW event and when I got back to my hotel room were lovely. But, I didn't get to spend a lot of time in them.
That's such a buzzkill.
So
yeah, it's like when I went to Seattle yesterday or to Gaspar Games. I flew up in the morning, drove out to Kirkland to Gaspar Games, played the game. drove back to the airport, flew back, got, and so I left my apartment at about 8:30 in the morning, got back at 11:30 at night. So there was it's not like I got to go to the Space Needle or anything.
Right. Like, and that's generally how most of our
travels. It's not that cool.
It's, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's not cool, because I, who am I to fly in the face of getting to go different places and, you know, meet different people. Like, I absolutely love that part. But I always, it always kind of cracks me up when people are like, ooh, you got to go to Paris. Because I'm like,
I was talking about the Space Needle.
Oh, yeah. It's Paris. Internet cool, can't be bothered.
I mean, it's cool during New Year's, but, you know, it's just kind of there. And you can't get any stuff to the restaurant.
I've been there before, but yeah.
I've never been on the Space Needle. It looks cool.
Me neither.
But, yeah, I mean, it is cool to be able to go and like, see what developers are working on. It'd be nice if they were closer, though, so I didn't have to travel. But,
yeah, but. Sorry.
Can't all game development just happen in San Francisco? That would be...
It's a super nice place.
We'll get right on that.
That's where all game press takes place.
Yeah. A lot of it, it's true. Well, thanks, everybody. Like I said, it's good to be back. I missed you all very much. No, like, really, a lot. Thanks for joining us this week, people. If you would like to, podcast producer Andy, can you give them the phone number?
Oh, sure. Well, if you want to call in, it's a toll-free call, and the number is 1-877-404-1337, extension 724, and that'll get you to the PC Gamer voicemail box. And they'll be greeted by your voice, I believe.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, which
I believe you can also.
Yeah, they can also email PCGamerPodcast@gmail.
And if you're not subscribing to the magazine, boy, we sure wish you would. Head on over to GamesRadar.com/PC, and there's a subscribe box on the left-hand side. So for all of us, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Peace out.
And have a happy 4th of July.
I've missed you all.
Well, Kristen, you're, now that you're talking loud, it's like breaking out.
No, that sounded pretty good, Andy. Maybe just don't talk too much louder than that.
Okay. Andy B, you want to give him some direction there?
Well, that's, yeah, what she said.
Say something again.
If I just stay at this volume, everything
If we can keep this consistency, that would be good.
I can keep this consistency.
Sweet.
It's nothing if not consistent. All right, are we ready? Moving on. Our friends at GameTap are publishing American McGee's newest game, American McGee of Alice.
Deep breath.
Moving on.
Hey, Andy, if I see you on the server, I promise not to kill you if you promise not to kill me.
Done. We have a truce.
Oh, backroom deal.
Let us go on our ways.
And like most of them would say, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. The earliest we can do this is the 9th, which was, you know, 9 days after I was supposed to get it installed. So I would have been without internet for a week. And so finally I get somebody who's like, oh, there's something we can do. You know, after asking to speak to supervisors.
Dan, do we have to add all of this to your playlist? Because it's kind of long.
I just wanted to rant about AT&T.
AT&T, bad.
Right.
Yeah. Evil.
I got to plug my shit back in. Hold on.
If I had a nickel for every time.
Logan, I saw Yo-Yo later. Girl Cop.
Later.
Oh, what'd you think, huh?
It was not enough Yo-Yo. It should have been called, like, Strappy Bomb Girl Cop.
Well, what about the Machine Girl? Did you see that?
What?
Do you even know what the Machine Girl is?
No.
Oh, my God.
Did I miss something big?
Oh, my... Hold on. Jesus Christ.
Dude, I'm going to go through the whole series, though, if I can find them.
No, you know, it's...
Okay, go to YouTube, type in Machine Girl, and watch the Machine Girl trailer. This is something you can't even imagine what it is. And then if you want to know how you can watch the full version of the Machine Girl, you'll have to email me. Are you on YouTube yet?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, then watch it and email me later.
Oh, I've seen this. This isn't real, though, is it?
Yes, it is. I've seen the movie.
I've seen this, yeah. Really?
Yes.
Dude, I've thought that this was just someone making a fake trailer.
F***ing rad. Okay, no, it's not that great. It's like a trauma movie, but
yeah, no, I'm still all about trauma movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I am, but still, trauma.
You know, she like, oh. There's one guy, she keeps shooting him until he's nothing but eyeballs on stocks.
Yes, I remember that.
I mean, that's rad, right? Okay, I gotta go.
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye.